Upfront, inside the entertainment industry, is brought to you by member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
Coming up on this week's edition of Upfront, Atlanta-based filmmaker Deborah Riley Draper is back to talk about her new documentary, 20 Pearls, which chronicles the story of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. And closing out the show is my conversation with Nikki Toombs, Eric Little, and Christian Fedison regarding the Good Trouble Playwriting Competition, which features aspiring student playwrights from Clark Atlanta University and Southern Methodist University. But first, here's an important message from Spike Lee.
Hello, this is Spike Lee. Those of us who really enjoy jazz know you can always find great jazz in Atlanta right here on Jazz 91.9 FM WCLK. We also know that Jazz 91.9 FM WCLK can only exist with the support of its listeners. That's why it's so important for you to do the right thing by calling in with your pledge of support now. The number to call is 404-880-8807. Thank you.
In 1908, nine young ladies, some of them were still teenagers, started Alpha Kappa Alpha. It would create a network for black women of like minds.
Who thought of this in 1908? Can you imagine that?
Alpha Kappa Alpha has done some impressive work across the years, from the Mississippi Health Project to the councils. It's not just a sorority in pink and green colors.
I'm a fourth generation, AKA. I just think about the history. It's just an honor.
It's a reminder that the legacy lives and lives for the generations to follow. It speaks for itself. It speaks for itself.
Hi, this is Ian LeVan Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the trailer for the new documentary, 20 Pearls. The film chronicles the history of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, and is narrated by Tony Award-winning actress and member Felicia Rashad. Through narration, interviews, and archival assets, viewers will see the impact that Alpha Kappa Alpha, or AKA, has had during the Harlem Renaissance, women's rights, World War I and II, NASA, the Civil Rights Movement, and the mobilization of support for America's first black woman vice president, Kamala Harris. I caught up with the film's writer and director, Deborah Riley Draper, this week to chat about the film's inspiration and more.
I think, you know, black women have to be elevated and centered in storytelling, in film, in documentary, in narrative, in shorts. Our role as American leaders is often undermined. It's often dismissed, and many times it's just not altogether included. So in this moment, as we celebrate our Sora, Madam Vice President, in the White House, there were lots of questions this past summer about what is an AKA, what, if you recall, there was a reporter that wrote, what is that sound? The women in the audience are making it such a high-pitched shriek. What is going on? So it was a moment in time that we should address the questions and answer the questions, but not answer the questions about Alpha Kappa Alpha. Answer the questions about Black women's impact on American history, the Black American leaders, female, who we have not seen, that have stitched together the fabric of America. That's what this is about. And it's a love letter to Black women, Alpha Kappa Alpha women in particular, and especially, but all the women of the Divine Nine and all the women in America who go unsung and unrecognized and forgotten for their heroic accomplishments. That's why. The time is now, the time was then, the time will be in the future. It's timeless.
I thought it was really interesting when I saw the headline of, AKA was sort of this secret weapon for Kamala Harris, but it was like, if you really know your history, as you explained throughout the film, AKA has always been there. It's always been a part of the political fabric of America. I mean, when you started talking about the, the women's suffrage movement and how these, you know, college students were like, look, we need to be a part of this. That was something I didn't know. And so when you, as you were kind of going through each, just each area where these women made such a huge impact, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, if anyone was a real scholar or if they really knew history, they would know that these women have always been there. Was that something that you knew before doing this film?
I absolutely did not know about Nellie Kwander's role in the women's suffrage movement until the Smithsonian provided me with that, you know, with the letter. And I was like, oh my God, this, and you know how much I love primary source materials. So being able to have that letter and to speak with Nellie Kwander's family, because they had lots of this type of evidence, just really opened my eyes and just was a spark and jet fuel to further research all of the letters that she had written, because there was more than one, and to look at this period of history, which is most often attributed to white women, this suffrage movement. And I learned that, oh my gosh, Black women, prior to even the formation of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, were there on the front lines of this fight for suffrage from the very beginning, from the moment, you know, Sojourner Truth said, "Ain't I a woman?" until today.
So how were you able to decide this is what I want to include in the film? Because there's just so much in terms of the members, the legacy of the members, what members did outside of the organization to really, you know, make the organization that much greater. How did you decide what you were going to use?
Well, you know, the research was exhaustive, the characters and the stories, but you know, it's a documentary. I'm like, in 90 minutes, what can I do? excuse me. So I chose I looked at the pivotal points of American history and laid that on top of the sorority history. The sorority history is far more vast and complicated and detailed than you can put in a single film. But I wanted to weave it into these moments that we think we know about America, like the women's movement, like the wars, like the civil rights movement. I wanted to layer the story on top and find these leaders within the sorority that did incredibly extraordinary things in these moments when Black women were invisible in this country. So that was the approach.
You know what? This is going to open the door for other fraternities and sororities to tell their story. Do you think that other organizations will follow suit after this film?
I hope so. I absolutely do. Here's the thing about being first, right? There's no benefit in being first unless you open the doors for others to follow. Unless you create a pathway for others to take a journey, right? So absolutely want to see organizations in our community stand up for their story. Stand up for your story. Because if you don't tell your story, who's going to tell your story? If you don't put yourself into your proper place in history, who will? Our organizations are left out of every single textbook made and published and distributed. Our organizations, when you look at World War I, right? These were facts that didn't make the documentary. But when you look at World War I, Lucy Diggs' cousin, Elder Diggs, was in World War I. He's also one of the founders of Kappa Alpha Psi. So these moments in our history are incredibly important, because when you have a Black man officer in World War I, that begins to change the dynamics of how we're regarded. It may not change the dynamics immediately, but over time, it chips away.
Catch the full conversation with director Deborah Riley Draper at WCLK.com and watch 20 Pearls on Xfinity Black Experience Channel.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting an exhibition of the life and legacy of Georgia native David Driscoll now through May 9th, 2021. The exhibition showcases Driscoll's painting and printmaking practices and 60 works of art spanning 7 decades of his career as an artist, curator, and scholar. Time tickets are required. More information is available at high.org.
As a young child, I tasted the bitter fruits of segregation and racial discrimination, and I didn't like it. I've asked my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, why segregation, why racial discrimination? And they would say, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way, don't get in trouble. But one day in 1955, at the age of 15, in the 10th grade, I heard about Rosa Parks. I heard Dr. King speaking on old radio. The leadership of Dr. King, his words, the action of Rosa Parks inspired me to find a way to get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the late, great Congressman John Lewis recalling the moment he got himself into good trouble. Those words have become synonymous with his enduring legacy of civil and social justice and serves as the theme for this year's first annual Good Trouble Playwriting Contest. This virtual competition takes place this Friday, April the 9th, and will feature student playwrights from Clark Atlanta University and Southern Methodist University in collaboration with Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company. I caught up with the organizers of the event, Nikki Toombs, Director of Education for True Colors, and CAU Theater Professor Eric Little, along with student playwright Christian Fettison, to chat about this unique experience and much more.
Well, guys, welcome to Upfront. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm super excited to have each and every one of you on the show. We're really excited about this amazing competition that will be taking place on Friday, April the 9th. It's something we've been working on for quite some time. But I want to take our listeners back to kind of the origin of how this entire collaboration came together. You know, Nikki, True Colors presented such an amazing season back in 2019. It was all about Black female voices, all about the Black female playwright. And the title or theme for that year was She Griots. And so I was really inspired by that theme and just the fact that True Colors were providing these amazing performances that were all written by women, African-American women. And I said, you know what, it would be really kind of cool to expand this and try to find the next, you know, great female playwright right here on the campus of Clark Atlanta University. So I had talked to Eric and was like, hey, Eric, what do you think about this? And of course I had talked to Jamil Jude, the artistic director there at True Colors. He reeled you in and said, look, we cannot do this without Nikki's help. And so we had been in preparation. We had found five amazing female students that were all excited about doing this playwriting competition. And then lo and behold, the world came to an end in 2020 and the coronavirus presented itself and presented us with a challenge that really caused us to kind of put things on hold. However, Miss Nikki, as you always do, you found a way to continue this process and you hit me back and said, look, Ray, we've got this great opportunity with another institution that kind of wants to do what we had been planning to do with She Griots. And let me also say this too, this collaboration, if you will, with Upfront, as well as with the Mass Media Arts Department and Theater Department, and of course, True Colors, was really my way of wanting to give back to the next generation of content creators. I think it's so important that we begin to tell our stories. And I felt that it was important to be able to tell for this current generation to start telling their stories. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there. But Nikki, let's talk about, if you will, how this collaboration came about with the other institution.
Well, first, Ray, thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor to serve and also an honor to share space with you. Well, one of our flagship programs, education programs at True Colors Theater Company is our August Wilson Monologue Competition. We're in 19 cities, and one of our regional partners is Southern Methodist University in Texas. And so one of our partners, Bernard Cummings, said, "Hey, Miss Nikki," and if you know his personality, he is this vibrant spirit. He said, "Miss Nikki, I have a great idea. I was thinking that there was a potential that we could do this. And I'm like, wait a minute. Got the perfect place, Clark Atlanta University. It is an institution with a lot of gems that shine, and they need more opportunities to showcase the work that they do. They have wonderful professionals and educators that are doing the work, and they also have some students who are waiting for an opportunity. So I said, hey, let's think about Clark Atlanta University. So he said, I love it. Make it happen. Who's the contact? And so I called you first, and then I called Eric and say, hey, are you guys interested in possibly revisiting this opportunity with your students? And you guys were on board, and we have hit the ground running. So it has been an awesome experience so far, and I cannot wait for the audience to see the work that these talented students have created.
And Eric, I wanted you to talk about the fact that, you know, with She Griots, we were focusing on African-American female playwrights, but with this competition, we actually opened it to all students. And so can you talk about that as well as the students that we selected this time around?
Yes, sir. First of all, once again, glad to be back on the show, Ray. I think I've been on here a number of times. Glad to be back on, so thank you for having us. As you said, when we talked about She Griots, that competition, it was such a great playwriting competition. And as you said, we were so disappointed because we had five of our, of our students who were excited and who we had chosen to be a part of the competition. Then when you said COVID hit, I think at least two or three graduated. So then we were like, well, they couldn't be a part of it anymore of this particular project with SMU, ANCAU, I should say. So we had, I think, two or three who were left. And we were like, well, since this is open to not just female, we want to open it up to all students. And that's where our student today, Christian Fedison, came aboard. Because he's a playwright as well as actor and director. And so we said we wanted to open it up to him. And so we kept the same students that we already had. And then we paired Christian with one of our students and they co-wrote a piece. And that's what we have right now.
And Christian, if you will, let's talk about your experience so far with this, because had you ever been a part of a playwriting competition before?
No, I had not. I had not been part of anything like this. It's been fun. It's been hard. It's been challenging and rewarding all at the same time. You know, I think the hardest part was, each day has come with a hard part because everything was just so new to me. I think the first thing was co-writing. In the theater, you don't typically co-write, you know, literature, plays. That's something that, you know, we do because we're playwrights, so we create literature and entertainment at the same time. And that was hard in itself. And then the idea was that these other cats had year plus some change ahead of time to think about this. And I had maybe like a few weeks, like 5 weeks to kind of dive right into it. But it's been pretty rewarding and exciting. Miss Nikki has been a great source of wisdom and leadership. And so is Professor Little. So I appreciate these people for being able to help.
And so, Nikki, I want to come back to you and ask, you know, this competition, the mantra of this competition, if you will, is based off of some very wise words from the late Congressman John Lewis. And we're talking about Good Trouble. That was also a film that came out about him as well last year. But why did you decide to focus on John Lewis's words?
Transparently, it was already predetermined with SMU, but when I tell you that it's timely to see what this generation has done, the allowing their voices to be heard. And then as a theater practitioner, you know, we hope to use our artistry for advocacy. So to see these young talents also use their artistry for advocacy and have a voice. So many years we've been muted, and now we have cut the volume up. And so what better way, what better topic, and what better person to spark the interest for us to come out or come off of our stages and make the impact both on and off the stage.
And with this competition came some, I would say, if you will, some tough classes. There was some preparation. I mean, we really worked with these students in their writing and also sort of providing them with some mentorship. Can you talk about that as well?
So let me tell you, I think the great Badu said it best. I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my stuff, right? And so when you come over here and you're holding your pen and you have someone else that is saying, let's write it this way, that's you know, that takes a bit of an adjustment. And sometimes we're having to pivot. And so there were nights where we've been on Zoom, and I can say, honestly, with Christian and Alexis specifically, I remember we've sat on Zoom as I'm cooking dinner and all, and just going line by line saying, now let's make sure that this is, period appropriate, and what sounds best to you. And I don't want to change your words, and I want to be respectful of what you're creating. And I have to say that these young spirits took it in stride, and, you know, what they didn't want, they didn't take, and what they liked, they added it in. So when I was hired at True Colors, you know, I always do this speech that Kenny said when he was getting his Tony Award, that he was looking for the day when every kid in America can have a little piece of theater in their daily educational lives. And my responsibility is to create those opportunities. And I have to tell you that even at 8, 9, and 10 o'clock at night, it was so much joy to be able to create this opportunity with these students who were hungry for an opportunity and who did the work. So yes, it's hard to try to get students who are trying to juggle work and class and life to come together and to do something that is very important to them when it comes to their artistic life and livelihood. But the honor was knowing that people such as Christian are able to walk away and be proud of the work that they created, and that others will be able to participate in this experience. So it was a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Eric, I want you to jump back in and talk about why playwriting competitions or any opportunity outside of just learning in the classroom is just as important to your overall educational experience.
My philosophy of education is create bridges, create growth. And those bridges are connected to a lot of things. With me, you try to create a bridge between what the student knows when they get into the classroom and what you want them to know. You create that bridge. What's that connection? What transitions them to this new information? But create bridges, create growth also connects to outside activities, whether it's through productions, whether it's through internships, or whether it's through competitions like this. This is where another part of growth comes from. And it's also that they create the bridge between what they learned in the classroom and they get to a real life experience. One of the things that is so great about this competition is because although we have four of our students who are, you know, have written these plays, their plays are not being directed by myself as a professor or Ms. Toombs or anybody else. They are getting to connect with somebody who is totally new to them. It's a professional. So I love that because it's not the people that they see all the time. So that's a growth process. And not only are students who are the playwrights, we also have cast some actors, our student actors. So they are getting to work with professionals, and sometimes not only just professional directors, professional actors, who are also, for some of the older roles, we actually have cast professional actors as well. So it's great. They are, you know, getting to work with professionals while they're in school. That's a great thing to do. Like, that's that's what you want them to do, because that's what, you know, what our main goal for teaching them is, that when they get out of here, they'll work in the profession. So this is another just great opportunity.
And Christian, let me ask you, what has been the biggest lesson that you've learned throughout this entire process? Because you've actually written things before. You've also tried directing as well. But what has been the biggest lesson that you've learned from this competition?
I don't know everything, probably. I think that'll be something right there. I don't know everything. Professor Little and a bunch of other professors, Dr. Graves at my university, they have done their best to try to humble me and humble a bunch of other, you know, my peers. But, you know, they like, when you get out into that world, you can't act like you know everything. And then sure enough, this Nikki telling me, Christian, that ain't the structure. Christian, you need to indent this. You need to, you know. And it got to the point where it was like, oh, there's still so much for me to learn. And then when I realized that I didn't know, I had to put this mentality in my mind that I don't know anything. And then after I said to myself, you don't know anything, so much started to seep in. Just so much started to seep in. And then, I do write line plays, and like, I direct them too. Like, I'm directing a play right now over at Pine City Market that I wrote. So the one thing about being a playwright and a director is that there's no one there to check me, especially the fact that I'm self-producing, you know, trying to get, you know, the groundwork done. But through this process, there's people checking me. Miss Nikki would check me, hold me accountable. And even we just started rehearsals and the director was like, hey, there's something here that I don't know if you meant this, but how is it work? You know, is so the idea is that if I was a director and writing my own piece, wherever I say it goes, no one's kind of checking over me. But the fact that I have these different checks and balances are pushing me for growth. So feedback, being able to accept feedback, is like the biggest lesson, and apply it so that could be better.
Well, guys, thank you so very much for being my guest today on the show. Again, we're really excited about this amazing competition that will be taking place next week. And Miss Nikki, if you will give our listeners all of the information that they will need so that they can check out these performances.
Absolutely. The Good Trouble Collaboration is slated for April 9th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd love to have their face in the place. Make sure you go to truecolorstheater.org or visit SMU for more details. Please come on out. It is open to the public. And I think that's it.
All right. And Christian, I just want to tell you and make sure you relay this message to the rest of the playwrights to break a leg.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Deborah Riley Draper, Nikki Toombs, Eric Little, and Christian Fettison. I'd also like to thank our engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next week for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside the Entertainment Industry.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside the Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and is recorded from the campus of Clark Atlanta University. A tasteling and ring on your lips, a feeling on